Welcome to AniPod, the show where we basically talk about anything related to anime, manga, or just the Japanese culture in general. Have a listen to my discussions of some of my favorite anime shows, and who knows, you might end up liking them too. So stick around and I'll be your host for their show. Hey guys, welcome to the show. You're tuned into AniPod with Mi-chan, that's M-I-C-H-A-N, and today's topic is going to be Fruits Basket Season 2, Episode 1. First of all, how is everyone doing? I know the past few months have been just crazy, like, I can't even believe that we're living to experience this kind of thing. Everyone's just staying at home, keeping themselves distant, you know, just like going through a lot. And for me, I feel like the past few weeks have been like kind of chill, kind of stressful a little bit because, you know, we got no job, no school. We're just at home, sitting, eating, laying in bed on her phone almost like 24/7. And like, for me, I'm just lost every single day. Just feels like it's day. I already forgot which is Monday, which is Tuesday. I don't even know what day it is today. So happy day it is, wherever you are. Happy whatever day. But with that out of the way, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for clicking on this podcast. First of all, you did not have any like reason to do that. I know this will not show up in every platform, but thank you very much for listening, thinking. Thank you for being in. Hop right into today's topic because it's going to be very long. I'm expecting this podcast to be at least 30 minutes long. There's a lot. All right, so let's jump into today's topic. Can't talk. Alrighty, let's get started. Let's just really hop right into it. So before I say anything, I just want to throw this out there that I have seen up to episode 8 of Fruits Basket. So I've been keeping up with the series pretty much since episode 1 came out. And yes, I do regret not doing this sooner. But basically what we're going to do is I'm going to talk about, like, maybe just have a little recap of some of the scenes that I liked, that like stood out to me the most, and what changes I've noticed so far through our first season, and then moving on to a new one. So let's really jump right into it. Let's get started. Okay, so the episode starts off with Minagawa admiring Yuki from afar, talking about her undying love for him. And here she quotes, "Everything about Yuki is everything to me." And I was like, girl, same. Like, I'd join if there was an actual Prince Yuki fan club. I just love him so much. He's my favorite character. Just say Minagawa, step aside Toru, step aside every other female character in Fruits Basket, because Yuki is my boy. I love how the episode here was so different. Like, we are actually seeing through the eyes of the observer, like from another person's point of view, how much Yuki has changed, what they think of Yuki, and what Yuki also thinks about himself. And I really admire Minagawa for just accepting and admitting that none of that change would have been possible if it weren't for Toru. The way Yuki smiles is more natural compared to in the first season. His laugh is definitely more open compared to that episode in the hot springs in the first season where he and Toru had a little moment, and he says, like, I don't want to laugh in front of Kyo. I haven't even laughed in front of my parents. From that moment, I feel like a lot has changed and I'm loving it so far. So we're definitely going to talk a little bit more about that throughout the whole episode. So since this is the first episode, of course, this is also the first time where we see the new opening to Fruits Basket. I love that song so much. It's definitely like in my playlist ever since episode 1. It's such a mood, such a bop. It really fits the vibe of the series all too well. Now, in most anime that I watch, I have to admit I am guilty of skipping the opening after the first episode a lot of the times. And I feel like a lot of anime watchers do that, right? I mean, tell me I'm not the only one. Which I think for some reason, for me anyway, it's kind of like a mistake to skip the opening because in most shows, that's where a lot of the foreshadowing happens. That's where we see a lot of hints. And the opening to Fruits Basket Season 2 has a lot of foreshadowing, let me tell you. Here's an example. They show the characters in their human forms, but their reflections are in their animal forms. Like, for example, Hatsuharu is the cow, Kyo is the cat, Yuki is the rat. So even if you're anime only, it's easy to spot which animal is who. Like with Rin, the girl with the long black hair, it's really obvious that she's a horse just from the opening. Like she's looking out of a window and a horse is looking back to her. So, and what does that mean? That means she's the horse. Clearly, she's the horse. And based from the opening, you can see all of the animals that we've met throughout the series and all of the characters that we have seen and not seen yet. There's going to be a completely different podcast for that. I'm saving that for a later episode. And I also love how in this opening, we get to see a separate shot of Yuki and Kyo. In the opening, Kyo is standing with a view of the shore and a sand castle behind him, while Yuki is standing with a bright view of the sky and the ocean and this really lovely purplish color. I love how beautifully animated that is. And most of the time, scenes like that show up in the opening have a significant meaning to them. So there's maybe a special moment involving those sceneries. There's like something that's going to go down involving those sceneries. And I feel like if you already watched as far as episode 8, you already know, maybe you have already noticed what those scenes from the opening meant. And then there's Akito, who's sitting on a bunch of wave breakers, which, if you do not know what they are called wave breakers. I used to see them a lot when I was a kid growing up because I live somewhere somewhat very close to the ocean. So I get to see a lot of these wave breakers, and the way they work is they stop the waves from flowing naturally into the shore. Also, most of the time, I heard it's like used to protect the coast, but never mind that. Which for me is kind of similar to how Akito's personality is. When I first saw that, I was like, wait, why is she sitting on a bunch of wave breakers? Is this foreshadowing? Is there a meaning behind this? And then I was thinking, maybe there is, because wave breakers are like things that stop the waves from flowing naturally, which is what Akito is doing. She is stopping the personal growth of the Somas and them like progressing naturally into this world. So she's kind of like the wave breaker of the entire group. I still have very mixed emotions about Akito, and like I feel like I'm going to do a separate podcast of that as well, just to see how much are we going to learn about her and what's going to change of my impressions of her. So we're going to do a completely different episode on that. Back to the start of the episode. The whole gang is back. Everyone's just doing their thing. Toda's ironing clothes, Kyo's eating breakfast, and they're just chatting around. Yuki and Kyo are having one of their little fights again. Then Toru almost burns the heck out of Yuki's face with an iron. That scene killed me. Like, those two are fighting again, and then, of course, Toru, being Toru, she's just like, wait, stop, please don't fight, that's bad. Then Kyo goes, then watch what you're doing. That was simply hilarious. Like, an inch closer and she literally would have burned Yuki's face. Like, lucky, but Yuki, I would have felt bad for him. So that scene, really funny. Then let's talk about Shigure for a little while. There's a part in the episode where he says, I'll get the pleasure of watching things play out between you crazy kids. I can't wait. You three have gotten so close, I can almost taste the drama. Like, he just points out that there is going to be potential drama slash tension that may or may not happen during summer break between Toru, Kyo, and Yuki. You know, that love triangle. I still have mixed emotions about Shigure's character since the first season. Sometimes he comes off as laid back and cheerful. He shows us his fun sides. Other times you'd see him as dark and mysterious and almost kind of a bit shady. I really want to see how it plays out for him, like what his goal is. Recap real quick to the first season, if I remember it right, I just don't know what episode it is. He says something like, I will make that dream eternal. What's that dream? Going back to before Yuki and Kyo started fighting, this is like what started their little fight in the first place. Kyo says, he's just so perfect, more like boring and robotic. The guy is just lame. And then Yuki kicks him. That kind of like becomes the theme for the whole episode. And then we see Yuki walking down the stairs. He's on his way to school. Looks up and says, yeah, well, I already knew that. It, like, for me, it just breaks my heart to see him still looking down on himself. Even though Toru and everyone else is like, helping him realize that he isn't this boring, lame kind of person and that other people look up to him and thinks that he's cool. He has very low self-confidence, he's very low trust in himself, and that just breaks my heart to see. Meanwhile, at the school, President Makoto and Minagawa are like fighting over him, which shows just how much love Yuki gets and how he somehow doesn't realize that. And, you know, the background characters, while President Makoto and Minagawa are fighting, they're like, oh, here they go again. That was so cute. Minagawa is basically trying to find out if there will be in the student council that Prince Yuki will be leading next school year, because let's be honest, Toru Honda is already a huge problem to them, so they can afford to have more girls who might potentially eat up Yuki. And while I was watching that, I was like thinking, like, girl, you should be worried about me, given how I already love him so much ever since the first edition of the anime, like ever since 2001. Like, if I was a part of that show, I'd go up to her and say, like, girl, you need to be worried about me, because I am definitely going to snatch him from everyone else if I could. Also, let's talk about showing the side characters again. It's really cool to see them back in the show, even though they have very little importance to, like, the whole story, like the whole Uotani crew, I guess we'll call them the Uotani crew, like those three chicks who showed up in the first season that were like trying to be trying hard delinquent. I love how they just show those characters so randomly, just to kind of like refresh the people's memories, like, oh, these characters were actually a thing in the story. I love that. I just love how we get to see them again. And we're going on to another scene, which this, I love this moment. This is my favorite out of the whole episode. So Yuki goes in to the counselor instead of the student council room for some reason, but whatever, we'll scratch that. He walks in, the room is dark, then he sees Machi sitting on the floor, looking super suspicious with papers scattered everywhere. And I was like, what the heck is she doing? I was so confused when I first saw her. Like, that is one big first impression that she made. And I remember watching it throughout that whole scene, and I was just like thinking, what is she doing? Is she looking for something? If she is, then what? So many thoughts dawned on me on this part, and for some reason, one of them was thinking, like, is she trying to dig up information on something? Maybe on Yuki, or Kyo, or maybe even Toru. Like, it doesn't make sense, but somehow I just thought of it, and I'm still very curious about Machi. I want to see more of her, even though she just comes off as kind of strange. And another thing that I like, and one of the reasons why this is my favorite part of the whole episode, is throughout the series, the only characters we see avoiding other people's touch are the cursed Somas. Of course, given since they are cursed, they transform into zodiac animals with, like, the slightest touch from the opposite sex. So, of course, it's given that you would like to avoid people of the opposite sex so that they don't find out about your secret. But here, it's kind of the opposite. Machi was the one who avoided Yuki's touch. He was kind of, like, reaching out to her, possibly trying to comfort her. And then she almost, like, in an almost violent and terrified way, moves over and kind of hits herself on one of those cabinets. So many theories went on in my head. Her not being a zodiac was not one of them. One, because we already knew who, I already knew who all the animals were prior to watching the remake. So I did read the manga a long, long time ago, so I've forgotten a lot of the information, a lot of details, but I know who all the animals were. Machi is not a Soma. Second of all, she has a different last name. Her full name is Machi Kuragi. And third, zodiac to zodiac contact doesn't matter because they don't transform, so why? And last one, of course, fourth of all, they would have seen each other at the banquet. If she was like a member of the zodiac, naturally she would see Yuki and Yuki would see her during the banquet. And so the whole zodiac thing is out. Another thought that came to mind, which I have written down because I know I will forget, there is a possibility that Machi has a sort of psychological trauma, like bad experiences with men, that results into her not wanting to be touched or close to them. Or maybe she just doesn't like being touched. Like, personally for me, I don't like it when other people touch me. Like, technically from this point, they're like strangers, and him like reaching out to a girl like that is kind of weird for me. Though my first impression would be like, it's kind of weird. It's the way she avoided it so violently that kind of like threw me into that conclusion. She seemed scared. That's all I'm trying to say. She seemed really scared the way she avoided Yuki like that. So next, we get to see one of my potentially favorite characters, Black Ranger Kakeru Manabe. I'm betting when episode aired, manga readers are like, yes, we have been waiting for this almost our whole lives. For me, it was like that. I remember him from the manga. He was kind of already like one of my favorites from the manga, which I can barely remember now because it's been decades. And seeing him animated feels so different. Like, hearing his voice, and the way he talks, and the way he moves, the way he acts, it's so different. And he is just hilarious. I especially like how they introduced him immediately napping. Like, just in the student council room, napping. Classic. So shortly after the two characters have been introduced, Makoto walks in, talks about how he's trying to scout two new potential members for the student council, which we have yet to see. I also want to know who they are. And he asks Yuki what he thinks of Machi and Manabe. I want to call him Manabe because he is Manabe. Then Yuki slowly turns his head and gives us a very memeable reaction. I can see a lot of memes, potential memes from this one screenshot alone. Like his reaction when he slowly turns his head and his face. So many memes. I'm already thinking of them now so I can make them. But that was a very cute and memeable reaction. I'm so excited to see more of Machi and Manabe. Especially Manabe. Manabe! I think a lot of people are starting to like him. Like, he grew a little on me in the manga. I feel like he's gonna grow so much more on me in the animated version. So, love that. So, we're going back with Minagawa and Rika, who tried to break into the student council room. And little do they know that Yuki was already there. So real quick, before we go any further, I just find it so funny and cool how Rika can, like, pick locks. That is a very, how should I say it? It's a very unique yet very dangerous talent to have. Like, she can just break into anyone else's house and get away with it because she can pick locks. And I also really love Rika's character because she's just so comfortable with Yuki. She just immediately goes up to him and talks to him like he talks to him every day. Like, it's nice to see a character that is so natural in a series like this. And anyway, just to throw this out there for a little while, some viewers might be lost or just hella confused at the time as to why Minagawa and Rika reacted the way they did when Yuki mentioned he had natto for breakfast. So just in case you were wondering, natto is a Japanese food made from fermented soybeans. And not to be rude or anything, I absolutely love Japanese food, but it does look kind of disgusting. It has a really weird texture. A lot of foreigners who have tried it hated it, and even some Japanese people themselves don't like it. I don't like it. First time I've tried it, I was like, I am not eating that because it's sticky and gross. So, that aside, I just wanted to throw that out there as a little trivia. After the talk about breakfast and natto, so they kind of start having small talk. Yuki and Minagawa are starting to talk. Minagawa awkwardly asks about the breakfast stuff, which is why they were talking about natto. And Yuki notices how Minagawa talks so politely, so formally, and he says it's cute, and then he smiles. Minagawa was already so flustered and uncomfortable just from seeing him up close, which is, I think, basically all of us girls when we see our crushes up close and personal and in the flesh. Then he suddenly just calls her cute, and I think she might have fainted a little bit on the inside, because if that were me, I'd be dead. I swear to God, if Yuki says that to me, I would die on the spot. Like, I'd probably blush like an overripe tomato and just die, stop breathing on that spot. So, that's that. Anyway, Minagawa starts flipping out, and then she runs away, storms out of the room. And best thing about Fruits Basket, one of the best things about Fruits Basket is how they give smaller side characters an actual story. They don't just show up in one episode and then show up very briefly in another, and then that's it. The rest is history. I barely saw Minagawa in the first season, so I love seeing her again, and I really like her character and how she realized that she was the one thinking all of these horrible thoughts about Toru and the other girls. And the one that she hates the most is herself, the eyes that look back at her in the mirror. And she hates herself for thinking all of those horrible thoughts. Also, major, major props to Minagawa for, despite everything, she did not actually bully Toru or any of the other girls that gets close or is getting close to Yuki. Even though it is kind of annoying, if it were me, like I see someone else talking to the prince, I'd be so annoyed. But and if it were me, I'm a little bitch, so I'd probably like flip out and be like, stay away from him. But Minagawa is like, she's actually, if you look back into one of the rules of the Prince Yuki fan club, she's not keeping him to herself. She is just trying to make people distant or a little bit more aware that Yuki might be uncomfortable with girls flocking over him because he's like so popular amongst the girls in their school. And so I feel like Minagawa is not keeping him to herself. Like, she's just trying to protect, I guess I could say that. He's trying to protect and respect Yuki in that sort of way. Another best thing about Fruits Basket is the character development. It's very slow paced and very in detail. Like, it goes in there, like, really, really into the tiniest details. How the character discover for themselves who they are, what their feelings are, their emotions, what do they want to be, what do they want their future to look like. And it's just very satisfying to see it all slowly unfold, and because it is slow paced, that's what makes it so satisfying. Like, the more the characters grow, the more intense you get, like, the more you get excited to see what's going to happen next. Like, what is he discover about himself next? What is going to unfold in the next two episodes? That's what makes the story so satisfying. It's not like every other show that's like, oh, you were like this, and now you're like that, and like, it's character development all of a sudden. But here, it's so slow to the point where you get kind of impatient, but you get very excited too. So that's one of the best things about Fruits Basket that I've noticed. So after that little moment between Yuki and Minagawa, we're pretty much towards the end of the episode, and we get a short kind of like slideshow from here showing some of the characters that we have from Fruits Basket. And I feel like there's a lot of importance as to what they're showing us towards the end. Like, for one, first of all, Horse Girl in the hospital with Hatsuharu just staring at her and looking at her. I love how beautiful that scene was. Like, the way her hair just started flowing with the wind and the curtains going upward, that was so good. And that really shows how there's just so much more to the relationship of these two other than just being zodiac animals. Like, there's so much more to the relationship of these two. Second thing that we get from the slideshow is Momiji playing the violin, which I was not expecting he could, but it's like a perfect fit for him. Like, for me, when someone says or violin, or when I hear the sound of a violin, I immediately think of something sad, like more of a sad music, a sad vibe tone. And I also really want to point out how, let's be honest, Momiji, for me, I have to say, has a really, really sad backstory himself. Like, his mother had her memories erased because she likes despise her own child, and I can only imagine how much that hurts for Momiji. Like, and he was there too, watching as Hattori erased his mother's memories. That is very painful. It's very sad. He's been through a lot. And despite like his age, he's very wise, to be honest. Looking back at one of the episodes from season one, again with the hot spring episode, where they talked about funny stories and like the idiot traveler, he was like so good in portraying that story, and he was so good in like realizing what Toru is like and how Toru feels on the inside. And that little story that he retold about the idiotic traveler and how it kind of represents Toru shows a lot of what he knows and how deep his understanding is. Like, me in that age, I legit just did not care about anything. I'm like, I was just like a goofy little kid who didn't care about any sort of wisdom, and I was just like stupid all throughout. But Momiji is just like so mature for his age, and like he's adorable, he's funny, but despite all of that, he has like this very mature, very wise side to him. I really want to see more of Momiji in the second season. I want to see more of his development, more of going to unfold, because there's going to be a lot of changes. I feel like there's going to be a lot of changes that's going to shock us. So third thing that I saw in this little slideshow is Akito sitting back to back with that gentleman who was walking behind everyone else in the opening, like in the line where they were all walking in on the opening. He was the last guy, like the really, really tall dude. And from there, like throughout, like even before I watched this, like what I mentioned before, I all pretty much already knew who the Zodiac characters were. So if you have watched up to episode 8, I think it's safe to say you guys have probably already concluded he is the rooster. And them just sitting back to back in the middle of a dark room, I think kind of shows how he and Akito are kind of attached, because Akito is not close to anyone but the Zodiac members, and specifically this guy. There's a lot of connection. If you watched up to episode 8, I think it's already safe to say this, because it's already been a good few weeks since we've already like seen the rest of the episode play out. And as much as I hate Akito, to be honest, I know a lot of people are also going to hate me for this, but I still hate her. I'm trying to find a reason to like her, and I'm rethinking everything, but I'm just waiting for the story to unfold. I'm just basically taking things out of face value, and I want to know more about her character, what exactly her role in the curse is, or in the whole Zodiac group, and why is she the one given that curse? More specifically, why is the Soma family cursed? That's what I want to know. So we're already in the final part of the episode, and here comes my favorite quote for this episode. Yuki says, "Who knew a trivial remark could have the power to hurt and heal?" I love that. He was obviously talking about how Manabe just called him interesting. And he also pointed it out that he was happy. He was kind of happy when he heard that. And thus that quote, "Who knew a trivial remark could have the power to hurt and heal?" And that concludes the episode. That's where it ends. So the ED roles, and I also want to talk about that, but again, I also want to point it out that I already watched up to episode 8 so far, so I won't theorize what will happen in the next episode, but for future episodes, I will keep doing this until I can keep up with the current episode that we have. And really quickly, just want to talk about that ending was so beautiful. And I think like everything in Fruits Basket in the remake was animated gorgeous and like just breathtaking. This one specifically is like really pretty. That song was very chill. I love the title, Ad Meloria, unique. The sound is very good. I love them now. That song is definitely one of the songs that just landed on my playlist. And it's just very chill, and it, like what I said, it's like the opening, can't talk. So like the opening, it fits so well with the vibe of the anime. So I love that. And there is something that I noticed. However, I did not notice this at first. So I read a post on our little Fruits Basket community on Facebook, and credits to whoever pointed this out, because I did not notice this the first time I watched the ending, and I don't know if anyone else did, but look at how all of the characters are lined up according to their zodiac animal, like from the 12th one to the first one, which is the rat. And sorry, I can't talk. On top of each animal shows them either side by side on top of their zodiac animals, or sorry, side by side or on top of, like, the respective zodiac animals, like how Yuki is, like, hat is on his head, and how, who else do I remember? I don't remember exactly, but the other characters show them and their zodiac animals side by side or on top. Well, as for Kyo, it appears bigger than him. So the cat kind of like shows up towards the end once all of the characters or all of the zodiac animals have been shown up to Yuki, and then he kind of just so shows up from in transitions from out of those colorful, beautiful bushes. And we kind of see him and his zodiac animal. However, it's not like how the rest are being portrayed. Like, just to make it sound a lot more sensible, the cat shows bigger than Kyo, almost as if to say the cat's spirit is overpowering him, like it's devouring him in a way. And they're all walking up to that gorgeously animated house on top of a mountain, and then the tune of the humming at the end of the song is the one from the 2001 anime opening. And when I first heard that, I think I might have just teared up a little bit, and like my heart just like fluttered a little on the inside when I heard that humming. So much nostalgia. I still remember when I watched Fruits Basket back in 2011, and that show to me was just, at the time, to me, it was just hilarious, even though prior to that, I already knew the story of the manga, but I read it when I was really young, so I just didn't pay attention to it all that much, not like I do now, so I feel like that's why I'm getting a lot more excited, and I'm getting the same excitement as an anime-only fan would have, like someone who's been first introduced to Fruits Basket, and it's crazy. There aren't a lot of shows that give me this much of an impact, and Fruits Basket is the one that gives me like that much of an impact. I just love the show so much, which is, I think you can tell, that's kind of why I made this in the first place. And that's it for today's episode of Fruits Basket on Anipod. Next episode is going to be Eat Somen with Your Friends. This episode was so good. Like, episode 1 is such a very good Yuki-centered episode. How many times did I say episode? There's been so much development, and I'm looking forward to see more of what's going to unfold from where we are now and what's going to happen to these characters. And there is a lot of characters. So I'm definitely going to be making more of this recap podcast, because I did really enjoy making this one, and I also try to make it better next time. I think there's a problem with where I'm recording from, because when I listen to the playbacks, I can hear a very, very loud buzzing sound, and I am in a very quiet room right now. I can hear my soul speaking to me that quiet, so I think there's something wrong with where I'm recording, but I didn't want to redo the whole thing because it would sound very unnatural now. Gosh, I really cannot talk today. But I am going to keep making more recap episodes until we keep up with episode 8, episode 9 on Monday, which is where we are already at. So that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for tuning in again today. If you made it till the end, I'd like to know, who's your favorite Soma and why? I'd like to know your thoughts. Drop your answers in the comment section down below if you're listening to this on YouTube. And while you're at it, consider subscribing if you want to see more anime-related content. And like this episode, of course, if you enjoyed it. Only if you enjoyed it. I'm not forcing anyone. That would seriously mean a lot to me. Thank you in advance. If you're on Spotify, consider following so you don't miss out on any episodes. And give a rating too, because that would really help me out a lot. We're also on Google Podcast. I can barely say Google today. We're also on Google Podcast. If you guys don't use Spotify, you can go to Google Podcast and AnyPod will be right there just waiting for you. You guys can also follow me on social media. That's me_AnyPod. That's MINAMI_ANIPOD. Again, me_AnyPod. That's on both Twitter and Instagram. That's all for today. That wraps up today's podcast. Thank you so much again, you guys, for listening. Thank you for clicking on this podcast. I had so much fun making this. It just feels so good to get all of that out of your chest, all of those thoughts, all of those emotions that you kept, because like no one in my group is like interested to talk about Fruits Basket or even anime in general, so I feel like this is the best way for me to like really get it all out and just let the world listen to it. Thank you very much again, guys. I don't know what else I'm gonna say, so I'm just gonna end it here. I'll see you guys in the next podcast of Eat Somen with your friends. I'll see you real soon. Bye bye.